All right, everyone, welcome to the Penalty Kicks, which is Robert Morris's source for your soccer podcasts. I'm here with Logan Carney. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure thing. Thanks, Owen. Logan Carney, RMU Century Media Sports Manager, kicking off our first soccer podcast of the year, first soccer podcast ever on RMU Soccer. So jot that down. We're making history back here.
Yeah, I guess we are. All right, we got a lot to talk about today. We'll start off with men's soccer. Men's soccer, still looking for their first win of the season. Their offense looks like they're starting to produce. They got 4 goals in the last 2 games, but still have not been able to get to the dub yet.
They've lost. That elusive dub. Yep.
2-3 was the final score of their last 2 games, their last being Saturday at Longwood.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the team, it's good to see them scoring. It took them, they didn't score their first goal till Northern Kentucky, which was 2 games ago, and they scored 2. They scored 2 more against Longwood. And, of course, you know, responsible for 3 of those goals has been just a phenomenal play of now the leading scorer of the team because only one other person has scored. My boy, Zach Sherman. For some reason, the name escaped me. Great job, first episode. Zach Sherman. Yeah, so Zach Sherman, you know, 3 goals in the past 2 games. You'd like to see the offense pick up more around him, of course. You know, 4 goals on the year. But it's good to see that it's in the last 2 games. So maybe, you know, you can think, is this going to start something for the team? You know, they got an opponent coming up who has also struggled to score in Bucknell. So maybe, you know, maybe this 2 goals, maybe they can get their first win of the year against Bucknell coming up on Wednesday. You know, big game. 2 teams that have struggled to score a lot this year. 2 great keepers in the net for both of those teams. And it's going to be an important game for Robert Morris.
I agree there. Owen Pierce looks like to be turning heads as he has a great name. Great name by the name of Owen there. And he's been scoring, got a couple assists in the last game and a goal. I think if him and Sherman can work the offense, then they're going to get their first one of the season.
Yeah, and offense is something that they've struggled to find since really, really dating back to when Nico Brett left after 2016. It's something we talked about a lot last year. And my freshman year, you know, they struggled to score the past couple of years. Of course, you know, last year they ended up getting a lot of production from one player, similar to what's happening this year with, at least so far so early, with Zach Sherman. As you know, as I pull up the statistics on my computer here, last year Bailey Winkle, 10 goals, who was phenomenal. They had half of the team's goals. The team scored 20 goals total, and Bailey Winkle had 10 of them last year. And of course, Bailey Winkle's not on the team this year, but unfortunately, he graduated. But Bailey Winkle was a phenomenal player last year, and really, that's an important improvement. I mean, important statistic is that last year they had one player score 50% of their goals. Mm-hmm. The team has struggled to find offense since Nico Brett left. So maybe Zach Sherman can be the Bailey Winkle, the, you know, Nico Brett, the guy that takes this team and can carry this team to, you know, at least an offensive production where they can make the playoffs like they did last year.
Last year, it looks like, looking at the schedule, it looks like they did improve towards the later half of the season, which is probably what got them in the playoffs. It looks like the same thing might happen here, as the offense is going to slowly pick up towards the end of the season, which it's better late than never.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough – their conference schedule is going to be tougher than their conference schedule. The NEC is really a weak conference in, you know, pretty much every sport. It's one of the weaker conferences that is Division I. That's just reality. Which is both good and bad for Robert Morris, because it means that Robert Morris can win the conference, but also means, you know, they can't recruit as well as they'd like to. But as the conference season gets on, you take on these teams. You know, Bryant also is winless right now. That's going to be their first conference game of the year, I believe, is at Bryant, and they're also winless. You know, they got these teams that they can beat on to, you know, sneak into the playoffs. I mean, last year they had 4 wins, I believe, on the year. Correct me if I'm wrong, Owen, yeah, but four wins in the year, and they total wins in the year, and they made the playoffs. You know, and all 4 wins, I believe, were conference wins. It's something that the team can, even though they're struggling now, it doesn't mean all hope is lost.
Yeah.
Again, the non-conference season, it really, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. And this is true for every single sport. Unless you're a top 25 program and you want to be ranked, mm-hmm. you know, the non-conference season really doesn't mean anything except looking nice on your schedule, except looking nice when you see your record. You know, last year they went 3-3-1 in the conference in one, you ready for this? One blank and two overall. What do you think that blank was, Owen? 8. They went 1-8-2 overall in non-conference, but they still went 3-3-1 conference and made the conference playoffs, which in the grand scheme of things is what matters.
Yeah. I mean, those non-conference games obviously are, you'd want to win them, but.
Well, of course. You always want to win as much as you can, but you know, you can't hold your heads over non-conference games when the conference season is the one that really matters. Yeah.
They're good practice games, if you will.
Practice games that count on the record. That's it.
Yeah. Next up, the team faces, they're at Bucknell in Lewisburg Wednesday, tomorrow at 7. What are your predictions for that game there, Logan?
You know, I wrote a preview on this Bucknell game. Bucknell, from the research that I did, they seem to be similar to Robert Morris, in that they struggle to score, and they have a great keeper that's been keeping them in some games. They only have one win on the year. So it's a winnable game. It is a winnable game. You know, that being said, I mean, it's going to be low scoring, I think. I think it's going to be very low scoring. It's going to be a pretty low scoring game, but when it comes down to it, you know, it is one that Robert Morris can win. It's not like they're going to be overly matched. Now, they do share a common opponent. That's the best judge that we can use for this game. They do share a common opponent. That was Kinesis, and who beat Robert Morris 3-0, and Bucknell shut them out.
Okay.
So maybe that's a telltale that maybe Bucknell has a much better defense. And for a team that Robert Morris that struggles to score already, maybe they won't be able to put them in net. But Robert Morris also, again, their offense has been, you know, great the past two games. They scored four goals. Four goals in two games is very, very good, no matter who your opponent is. You know, usually two goals is enough to win, but unfortunately, you know, the other team scored three. When it comes down to it, I think they have good – good goalie in Ott for Bucknell. That will keep it close. Good goalie in Fondy, who we know a lot about Fondy here. That will keep it close. I mean, it'll be a low-scoring game. It's tough for me to predict who's going to come out on top. But my overall prediction is that it's going to be a 1-0, or even it can even be a 0-0 tie.
Yeah. Both great goalies, but both great offense, which will – Shine, we'll see tomorrow night at 7, and it'll be an away game. You can check for the recaps here at RMU Century.
Yep, RMU Century Media. Don't forget about those recaps. I mean, always got to throw in the nice promotion for our own writers, you know?
Yep. All right, switching over to women's soccer here. Women's soccer snapped their 6-game losing streak against Youngstown with a 2-0 victory.
Yeah, I mean, again, similar problems as the men's, as they haven't had much offense outside of Jane Schleicher. But Schleicher, top 10 in the country in total goals on the year with 7. She is number 5 on the year in total goals in the country. I mean, you know, we look about the Nico Brett effect, the Bailey Winkle effect for the men's, and the Zach Sherman effect, you know, the one guy that can put that offense over the head, and Schleicher is doing it for the women's team at Robert Morris, is number 5 in the country.
Yep. She really has a team on her back right now. The games that I was watching there, she was just in control of the offense. Like, it was just her out there working her butt off, like going for every ball even though it was out of her reach, And there's a reason why she has, I believe, seven goals.
Seven goals on the year, yes. Seven goals on the year. She's two back of the leaders, CeCe Kaiser and Kelsey Moorhead, from Ole Miss and UMKC. Right behind Tatum Barton and Ramey Sherrill from Colorado and Boise State. And she's tied with a bunch of other people at number five. But, you know, looking at really overall, I mean, she's number one in the conference right now. Of course, it is non-conference season. She's number one really on the East Coast. I mean, you look at all these other schools. I mean, Princeton, yeah, she's tied with. But every other school is on the West Coast. So she's in our area, she's the best soccer player right now, best striker right now. But when it comes down to it, you know, you like we said, with similar to the men's team, of course, Schleicher's putting up a lot more production than Zach Sherman is. You know, you'd like other people to get in there, you know, you like other people to help out the offense more, because there's only so much that one person can do.
Talking to John Kowalski the other day for an interview I had with him, he was saying the same things about how the players that are going to help out Jane are either not on the roster and don't exist on the team or injured, which is a bummer because the team really could use some more offense from someone else than Schleicher. They have been scoring their last couple of games, but it's mostly been set up by her or scored by her.
Yeah, and it's not like the scoring's just been the problem. I mean, they lost 3-1 to Howard. They scored two goals against Valparia, so I struggle to say that for some reason. I mean, they lost 4-2. You know, they lost in overtime to Niagara 3-2. You know, so it's not like the offense has been the main issue on the team. Of course, they have been shut out three times on the year. But again, you know, similar to the men's team, maybe this 2-1 Youngstown State victory is something that can really put them forward. You know, they got Akron, they got Yale, and then they start their conference season with Wagner. You know, so maybe, you know, this 2-0 victory is something that, hey, you know, maybe we can get some offense going, and now we can move forward, and, you know, maybe we can roll out a couple victories before the conference season starts, before the real games start.
And like we said before, like, these non-conference games are good practices, if you will, to get to the real things that matters.
I mean, a little more practice. I mean, they matter in the sense that, you know, you can judge how good your team is. They matter on the records. They matter in potential NCAA seeding, if you know, stuff like that. But when it comes down to it, you know, if I can take a conference victory over a non-conference victory, I'm always going to take the conference victory. No matter who that non-conference opponent is.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you always take that conference victory because those are the ones that, you know, you get that NEC standings, you know, in the playoffs. You can face a weaker team right in the round if you do good, and you can move forward. And, you know, if you win the NEC, you make the tournament. So that's all that much matters, really.
So up next for the girls, they have Akron home Friday at 3. Any predictions for this game?
I mean, it's going to be a funny thing is I actually know somebody on the Akron soccer team, which is pretty interesting. My brother's girlfriend actually is one of the top players on the Akron soccer team, Ashley Amato. But, you know, they also have struggled to score a lot this year. You know, they've been shut out against Charlotte. They've been shut out against Xavier. You know, they've had a couple good two games. You know, they tied 2-2 against Indiana State. They lost 3-2 against Dayton. You know, but the big one that stands out, they, you know, how we beat Youngstown State 2-0, they beat Youngstown State 6-0.
Yeah.
You know, that is really something that, you know, stands out. That was their huge offensive, you know, production. That was their biggest game of the year. You know, they hit six goals in just one game is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
So this is one of those games where Robert Morris is going to need somebody to step up outside of Jane Schleicher if they want to win. They need somebody to score outside of her, or at least help with the offense more outside of her. She can't put the team on her back every single game. And you know, they know that. The players know that. The women's soccer team know that. They do have some talented players on the team, so it's not like they can't do that. But this is one of those games where it could end up being a high scoring game. You know, Akron's offense, while they have, you know, had, you know, they struggled a bit earlier in the year, but they've come on late. You know, they had that 3-0 shutout against Xavier, but, you know, their last five games. Let's read off their last five games. So, Wofford, 3-0. Indiana State, 2-2. Youngstown State, 6-0. Dayton, University of Dayton, they lost 3-2. And then they had that shutout against Xavier. You know, so while, you know, their offense, you know, their beginning of the year, they struggled a lot. Those middle non-conference games, they really turned it up. So, and then they got the shutout against Xavier. Xavier, so a big university. It's going to be a high. It could be a high scoring game. Could very well be a high scoring game, and that's something that stands out. You know, that's why you need somebody other than Jane Schleicher to take the team over the top.
They have had some depth scoring, though, at least the game I went to. Christina Kelly looked great out there. She was setting up goals. She scored in the only goal against Howard. She's been a good depth piece for this team, in my opinion, at least.
Yeah, I mean, they have more than Jane. It's not that their pieces aren't there, you know. It's not that they're not there. It's that they just need somebody. They just need them to step up. I think that's what it comes down to, is that players just need to step up. You know, and there's two games left before the conference season. So if you want to salvage, you know, what little you have left of the non-conference year, you got to win these next two games. It's a pride thing. You go into the conference, you know, hot, a lot of momentum. And it's something that, you know, maybe you can start off the year strong in conference and you can put your team up early, because that's always important. You know, these next two games are about, you know, getting ready for the conference season. That's really what these next two games are about, is getting ready for the conference season. And that's really what we need to see from this team is to be competitive in, you know, a tough game against Akron, who has a stronger offense. You know, they've struggled offensively. They have had some games where they've struggled, but, you know, overall, you know, that 6-0 game against Youngstown State, obviously not a great team. You know, Robert Morris put up two goals on them too, so it's not like Robert Morris can't score against the same teams that Akron scores against. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's at 3:00 on Friday. I mean, that's hopefully the weather holds.
Yeah,
that's really what the worry. That's what worries me, is that it's still scheduled for Friday. I think overall that's really the biggest game story, is that it's you know, with the hurricane coming, you know, with how bad the rain has been, with games being moved around Pittsburgh. I mean, they canceled the Pirate game before they even tried playing it on Sunday. You know, maybe the weather can be bad too on Friday. I mean, that's another factor that's going to go into this game. You know, it's a high-scoring game. The weather's probably going to be bad. You know, it's one that you can – that if some other players show up, you can sneak away with a victory. You definitely could. And Akron, you know, they're not a great team. You know, they are a beatable team. You know, it's at Pittsburgh. It's on the Colonials Field. I'm sorry, North Athletic Complex. Colonials Field's cooler. They should name it that. But North Athletic Complex. You know, and it's a game that they can win, and it's a game that if Robert Morris wins, it's a great way to get a couple more moral victories before the conference season starts, before the real games start.
Yeah. The girls' soccer team has a pretty good goalie tandem with Schmidt and...
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we've seen a lot with Robert Morris. The men's team, too. I mean, Winter Fondi has been phenomenal for the men's team. Julia Schmidt has been great for the women's soccer team this year. I mean, just look at like some of the scores. They've lost close games. They have 3-1-0 losses on the year. One of their wins was a shutout, 1-0 shutout. Other than that, you know, 3-1 on Howard, 3-2 in Niagara in overtime. You know, Schmidt has only given up. You know, the Robert Morris's women's defense and their keepers have only given up more than one goal in three games so far in this year. So, you know, the defense is nothing to be worried about. They're 2-6, and so they played 8 games, but 5 of them, they only gave up a goal, you know, at most. You know, so it's not like the team can't win. This is a team that can perform. This is a team that, you know, if they can find a way to shut down Akron's offense like Xavier did last week. Again, Akron's offense has had some inconsistent games, you know, then they can pull out this victory.
The game that I was at against Howard, Schmidt and Bruckner, when she came in, they were making save after save. Like, they were keeping the team in the game half of the time because Howard's offense was just pressuring the Colonial defense. And when I talked to head coach Kowalski after the game, he said that was one of their issues they wanted to focus on most, about tightening up their defense and getting the workload off of these two.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that Howard game. Again, that was one of the games where they gave up three goals. That was one of their higher, where the opponent scored more goals than the rest of the, than the, I think that was the second highest score total against on them for the year. Bruckner, Schmidt only played 14 minutes. You know, she had two saves in those 14 minutes. Bruckner came in, and I mean, you were at the game. I don't know why Bruckner came in. I assume Schmidt got hurt if it was just 14 minutes. Mm-hmm. I unfortunately wasn't able to see that game. But, you know, just looking at the stat line, she gave up three goals, yes, but she had 12 saves. So she had a lot of work on her, and she played phenomenal. I mean, she had 12 saves. That's not an easy thing to do.
Some of them came, like, in a flurry of saves. I remember once she had three saves back-to-back-to-back, and she was just keeping their team.
Yeah, and Army's defense, 22 shots that Howard had. 22 shots, 18 on target. RMU just 15 shots, 7 on target. And that's something that's very important, you know, going forward. You know, moving, like, you need to tighten up that defense so that doesn't happen. I mean, the defense has done good in a lot of games. Again, 5 of their 8 games, they only gave up, you know, they didn't give up more than one goal in majority of their games so far in the year. So the defense has played well in a lot of these games. The keepers have played very, very well too. Even in the games where they gave up three goals. Again, Bruckner, the backup keeper, had 12 saves. So moving forward, those are positives that you can look forward to. Those are things that, you know, if you play tight against Akron, you can beat Akron. And that's the next game. That's the one that they're focusing on now. And it is a winnable game.
All right, so Akron is next for women's, and for men's, they have
The men's team taking on Bucknell.
Bucknell.
I told you I wrote an article. You could have just asked me.
Okay. That'll do it for us today in the first ever soccer podcast.
First ever. History was made tonight.
All right, we'll catch you guys every Tuesday at 8. Make sure you keep updated with RMU Century Media, and thanks for tuning in.